This week we are continuing our worship series called Good News. And in this we've been exploring why the good news is good news. And we've learned that if your version of the faith, or perhaps the faith you grew up in, or perhaps the faith that you understand as it is right now, if it's not good news for all people, then maybe it's not the faith that Jesus wants you to have. Moreover, that the good news of great joy for all people is that Jesus is the perfect image of God, and he gives us a new way to know God. Then next we learn that the good news is that was so good that the forgiveness of sin would be announced ahead of time. And then we learn that the good news is your past doesn't matter, because not only does Jesus want to forgive you and to heal you, he also wants to be with you and transform your life from the inside out. And today we're going to explore another aspect of the good news as we learn how Jesus wants us to follow him and to be with him, and then how we can live into the reality of the kingdom of God. Because this is good news. Let's find out more. I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Our scripture today will be verses 1 through 11. And follow along as we hear the good news. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. One day, Jesus was standing beside Lake Gennesaret when the crowd pressed in around him to hear God's word. And Jesus saw two boats sitting by the lake. The fishermen had gone ashore and were washing their nets, and Jesus boarded one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, then asked him to row out a little distance from the shore. Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat, and when he finished speaking to the crowds, he said to Simon, "Row out farther into the deep water and drop your nets for a catch." And Simon replied, "Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing. But because you say so, I'll drop the nets." And so they dropped the nets, and their catch was so huge that their nets were splitting, and they signaled for their partners in the other boat to come help them. And they filled both boats so full that they were about to sink. And Simon Peter saw the catch. He fell at Jesus' knees, and he said, "Leave me, Lord, for I am a sinner." And Peter and those with him were overcome with amazement because of the number of fish they caught. And James and John, Zebedee's sons, were Simon's partners, and they were amazed too. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." And as soon as they brought the boats to the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we worship you this morning, and as we meditate on this passage, on your words, your presence is good news to us. So may we discover how to follow you and dwell in your eternal presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So have you ever had one of those moments where you thought, "Oh, I ought to? I ought to do this, or I ought to do that"? You ought to do something. You know, like perhaps you thought, "I ought to get up and give my seat to the person who's struggling to stand." Or maybe you thought, "I ought to wait and hold this door open for the person that's just a few steps behind me." Or perhaps you thought, "You ought to stop and help that person that's broken down on the side of the road." Or maybe you decided, "I was wrong. I ought to apologize." You ever have those? Oh yeah, I know I do. But the thing is, this sense of ought, it comes from outside of us. And I know this because if it came from inside of us, inside of me, I'd stop listening to it. Yet it comes from outside and it informs our conscience. Sometimes it condemns us, And other times it encourages us to do the right thing. And it helps to hold ourselves accountable to do the right thing. And this is God's grace. It's the Holy Spirit pouring out grace upon us to transform us from the inside out. And sometimes we listen to it, and sometimes we ignore it. Yet it's still there, reminding us and encouraging us to do the right thing. However, when it comes to ourselves, if we're not careful, we can get really good at ignoring it. Yet we know we've heard it. We know it's still there because we're holding everyone else accountable to it. Even if we ignore our own conscience, somehow we tend to hold others accountable to our conscience. You ever notice that? See, there's this universal conscience out there, and we grab a hold of it when it's convenient for us, and we ignore it when it's not. And unfortunately, that's the hypocrisy that we all share, both Christians and non-Christians alike. Our hypocrisy is that we can't help ourselves. We can't help holding others accountable to an external standard that we like to ignore ourselves. And this underscores the importance and the arrival, the good news of when Jesus came. That it was such good news that people wanted to hear more. They wanted to experience more. And I mean, Jesus, he made it clear with his humbling ministry and his message that we aren't so good. We want to be good. We try to be good, and sometimes we do think we're good. Yet the reality is we're not that good. So it's good news for those of us who know that we're hypocrites. It's good news for those of us who know that we're really not all that good. And it's a message of hope that gives us hope when we remember how we use this universal conscience when people hurt us, but we ignore it whenever we do whatever it is that we want to do anyway. So for people like us, this is good news. And here's what I mean. When we're reading the Gospel of Luke, as we read the scripture this morning, Luke says when he opens up the Gospel that he fully investigated all of this. And then he tells us this story. And he tells us a very unique perspective of Peter's call story. And I imagine he got it straight from Peter in all of his investigating and his questioning. And he gives us this insight and conveys to us how this is good news. Because there is this fisherman named Simon. And he later becomes a follower of Jesus, and he gets a new name. Jesus begins to call him Peter. Now, Peter, he was a good and decent man. He was a businessman. He was a family man. He had friends and brothers, and he probably had a good reputation in the community. Unless you've seen The Chosen, then he was kind of a scoundrel. But he encounters Jesus one day when Jesus is standing by the Lake Gennesaret, which is another name for the Sea of Galilee. And there's a whole crowd, a whole bunch of people gathering around Jesus and just crowding in on him. And they were listening to what Luke says is God's word. And I think that's an amazing phrase because they're listening to Jesus as Jesus spoke and as Jesus taught. And a lot of times, you know, when we think about God's word, we're thinking about our Bible, right? But this is way before there was ever a B-I-B-L-E. This was Jesus. And they're listening to the word of God. And Jesus is teaching and he's looking around. And when people are listening to Jesus and they're hearing the word of God, they want to get closer. And Jesus is looking for a place where he can reach more. And as he looks around, he sees some boats on the shore and he gets in one of them. And the fishermen have been cleaning out their nets and stretching out their nets and drying them out. You know, they've been fishing all night and in the shallow water. When it gets cool in the evening, the fish come up to the shallower water and they can kind of see them. They know where they are and they can toss their nets in. That's why they fish at nighttime in the day, because as the sun comes up and the water warms up, the fish go out where it's cooler. And they've been dragging their nets through that mud all night, and now they're cleaning that mud and the grass and all the Coke cans you threw in the lake. They're cleaning that junk out of their nets. And Jesus wants Peter to take him out in the water a little further so he can talk to the crowds and not be so crowded himself. You know, kind of that amphitheater effect. And they get out there just a little ways, and Jesus sits down and he begins to teach. And Peter's just kind of stuck there. He can't get up and leave early. He can't go to the restroom. He can't even go refill his Coke and popcorn. He's just there, so he sits there and listens too. And Jesus begins to finish his teaching, and I imagine Peter is getting ready to row him back to the shore, and he says, oh, wait a second. Take me fishing. Let's go out a little deeper. And I don't know what exactly Peter was thinking at the moment. He may have been thinking, you know, I've tried this. I didn't catch anything. I'm just tired. I want to go home. Or maybe he thought, oh, well, you know, hey, this guy's a rabbi. He gave a good message. Seems like a pretty decent dude. You know, I've never been fishing with a rabbi before. Maybe he's good luck. Maybe I'll catch something. I really don't know what he was thinking, but Luke records Peter as saying this. Not sure his motivation, but he says, well, Jesus, we've been fishing all night, and we haven't caught anything. I really don't want to go through this again, but because it's you, and since you've asked, and since we're out here, we'll give it a try. So apparently Peter and Jesus row out to the deeper water where they can't see the fish, and they start fishing. They have no idea where the fish are. They're just throwing their nets in the deep. But then all of a sudden, the fish start swimming into the nets, and the nets are getting fuller and fuller, and there's so many fish that the nets are about to break. And Peter needs help. He calls to his brother Andrew, and then he calls to his friends, James and John, to come over. They're partners in the fishing enterprise, and they help them get these nets in. And they've got both boats out there now, and they're dragging the fish in, and the boats are about to sink. I mean, this is the score of a lifetime. So many fish. It's amazing. Fish for days. And they can probably pay off that new boat. It's just incredible. But it's in this moment that Peter is overwhelmed with self-awareness. See, he's no longer impressed with how he sees himself, because he begins to see himself in a way that he had not seen himself before. And suddenly, he's not okay. You know, he's always been this typical guy, this average good guy in the community. He's tried to be a good husband and a good brother and a good friend and a good businessman. But suddenly, that didn't matter anymore. Because now, even though he's just done this good thing with Jesus, he's suddenly ashamed. You know that universal conscience? The Holy Spirit gets a hold of him and he's convicted. I know some of us can relate. Some of you can relate. You've had similar experiences. And in the middle of this experience, Luke says, Peter lets the net go. And the fish and the boat in the lake, it all becomes inconsequential. He realizes that his world is out of balance. Peter is not okay with Peter anymore. And he falls down to his knees, and he's in the boat, and he's at the feet of Jesus, and he says, leave me. Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinner. I'm a sinful man. And in essence, what Peter is also saying is, I need you to go away from me, Lord. I need you to go away so I can feel okay about myself. I'm fine with me as long as you're not around. I was good until you showed up. But Jesus responds, and this is the good news. Jesus looks at him and he smiles and he says, "Don't be afraid." You know, Jesus could have shamed him there on the spot. He could have said, "Oh, you're right, you are a sinful man. In fact, your greatest sin has not even been committed yet. It's still in your future." But instead, with a smile, Jesus says, "This is why I've come. This is why I'm here. I want to teach you about God, and I want to teach you to fish for people." You see, the kingdom of this world are all about power and prestige and profit. Yet none of those are ever good enough. They never truly satisfy. However, I have good news, and it's about a new kind of kingdom. A new kind of king. It's more fulfilling than anything you can imagine. "Oh, and Peter, I am going to go away, but I'm going to take you with me. And in the meantime, we're going to change the world for the kingdom of God." And it was at that moment they pull their boats up on the shore and they get out and they follow Jesus. They leave everything behind. Nets, boat, and all the fish they've caught. And they head out from there to make their mark on the world. And the journey for Peter began the moment he recognized, "I'm good, but I'm not that good. And in your presence, I'm a sinner in need of grace." And Jesus sends him a message, and he's sending all of us a message that in the midst of our conviction, he says, "I know. Now follow me and let's change the world together." See, what makes the good news so good is that we are not so good. And Jesus knows that. And he loves us anyway. And he offers us a way to be better, to do better, and to follow him. He offers us a way to make life better and you better at life through Jesus Christ. This is the invitation of Jesus, our Savior. And it just keeps getting better. Because Jesus' followers were not only invited to be good, they were invited to do good. Yet this was not the good in the usual way we think of good, because we all do good in some way, right? That's why we all think we're kind of good. Yeah. Now Jesus says that if you're going to follow me, you're going to be like me. If you're going to be someone that lives their life in a way that embraces the values of the kingdom of God, because I've come to introduce the kingdom of God to earth and its brand new kind of kingdom, that's not a geographical kingdom. It's a kingdom of the heart. It's a kingdom of the conscience. It's a kingdom of the soul, a kingdom of the spirit. And here's how it operates. I want you to do good, but I want you to do good to those who hate you. And I want you to pray for those that mistreat you. Who does that, you might ask? Well, Jesus would say, "Hang on, because you're about to hear something about God, our Heavenly Father, that maybe no one has ever told you before. That if you do good to those who do good to you, that's just average. Everybody does that. It's unremarkable. It's no different from the rest of the world. So what credit is that to you?" That sort of goodness has been around since the beginning of time. Then Jesus says, "Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to people without expecting to be repaid anything in return." And you might be thinking, like a lot of people might be thinking, that can't possibly be true. Yet if it is true, it changes everything. If you are that level of good, if you embrace those who mistreat you and cheat on you and those who aren't good to you in return, if you choose to be good to those who can't offer you anything in return, then you will be called children of the Most High God. Because that's what your Father in heaven is like. He is good to those who hate him. He is good to those who mistreat him. And he loves them because that's the kind of God he is. Because God is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. That's good news. It's good news to me because I've been ungrateful. It's good news to you because I've been wicked. I've been a sinner. And Jesus says, be merciful just as your heavenly Father is merciful. What's not to love about that? Please understand that God, as presented by Jesus, was and is extraordinarily merciful to the ungrateful and to the wicked. And these words come from Jesus' lips. And this is hard for us. It's confusing because it's not how people act. It's not how most people act, not even most Christians. But let's be known as the children of God who are kind to the ungrateful and merciful to the merciless. Let's be known for serving the people, even the people who don't want anything to do with us. Let's be the kind of followers of Jesus who live into the values of the kingdom of heaven. And let's not be content to only believe, but to also follow. Because believing alone doesn't make any difference in this life or in this world right now. It's following, it's doing that makes the difference in the world. See, Peter was believing when he was sitting there on the boat. But then he followed. And this is why Jesus' invitation was to follow me. Jesus is saying, if you follow me, you'll discover that following me will make your life better. It will make you better at life. If you follow me because of who I claim to be, then you will know, you will experience this as good news. So how do we live into the good news? We follow Jesus. So let's be about the good news of great joy for all people that we know as Jesus Christ. Let's be the children of God who live into the life-changing grace and generously share this good news about God with everyone we can. Amen?